Right, thank you. Yes, said Imp, awash with relief. He grabbed his harp and played a few notes. That seemed to lighten the atmosphere a bit. Everyone knew elves had never been able to play music. Lias Bluestone, said the troll, extending something massive with fingers on it. Imp e killin, said Imp. Nothing to do with moving rocks around at all in any way. A smaller, more knobbly hand was thrust up at Imp from another direction. His gaze travelled up its associated arm, which was the property of the dwarf. He was small, even for a dwarf. A large bronze horn lay across his knees. Glod, Glodson, said the dwarf. You just play the harp?
Anything with strings on it, said Imp, but the harp is the queen of instruments, see?
I can blow anything, said Glod.
Really? Said Imp.
He sought for some polite comment.
That must make you very popular.
The troll heaved a big leather sack off the floor.
This is what I play, he said.
A number of large, round rocks tumbled out onto the floor. Lias picked up one and flicked it with a finger. It went bam.
Music made from rocks, said Imp. What you call it?
We call it Grieg Hugge,
said Lias, which means music made from rocks. The rocks were all of different sizes, carefully tuned here and there by small nicks carved out of the stone.
May I, said Imp,
be my guest.
Imp selected a small rock and flicked it with his finger. It went pop. A smaller one went bing.
What do you do with them,
he said.
I bang them together.
And then what?
What do you mean, and then what?
What do you do after you bang them together?
I bang them together again, said Lias, one of nature's drummers.
The door to the inner room opened, and a man with a pointed nose peered round it.
You lot together, he snapped.
There was indeed a river, according to legend, one drop of which would rob a man of his memory. Many people assumed that this was the River Ankh, whose waters can be drunk, or even cut up and chewed. A drink from the Ankh would quite probably rob a man of his memory, or at least cause things to happen to him that he would on no account wish to recall. In fact, there was another river that would do the trick. There was, of course, a snag. No one knows where it is, because they're always pretty thirsty when they find it. Death turned his attention elsewhere.
$75, said Imp, just to play music?
That's $25 registration fee, 20% of fees, and $15 voluntary compulsory annual subscription to the pension fund, said Mr. Cleet, secretary of the guild.
But we haven't got that much money.
The man gave a shrug, which indicated, although the world did indeed have many problems, this was one of them that was not his.
But maybe we shall be able to pay when we've earned some, said Imp weakly. If you could just, you know, let us have a week or two.
Can't let you play anywhere without you being members of the guild, said Mr. Cleet.
But we can't be members of the guild until we've played, said Glod.
That's right, said Mr. Cleet cheerfully.
It was a strange laugh, totally mirthless and vaguely bird-like. It was very much like its owner, who was what you would get if you extracted fossilized genetic material from something in amber and then gave it a suit. Lord Vetinari had encouraged the growth of the guilds. They were the big wheels on which the clockwork of a well-regulated city ran. A drop of oil here, a spoke inserted there, of course, and by and large it all worked. And gave rise, in the same way that compost gives rise to worms, to Mr. Cleet. He was not, by the standard definitions, a bad man. In the same way a plague-bearing rat is not, from a dispassionate point of view, a bad animal. Mr. Cleet worked hard for the benefit of his fellow men. He devoted his life to it, for there are many things in the world that need doing that people don't want to do, and were grateful to Mr. Cleet for doing them. Keeping minutes, for example, making sure the membership roll was quite up to date, filing, organising. He'd worked hard on behalf of the Thieves Guild, although he hadn't been a thief, at least in the sense normally meant. Then there'd been a rather more senior vacancy in the Fool's Guild, and Mr. Cleet was no fool. And finally, there had been the secretaryship of the musicians. Technically, he should have been a musician, so he bought a comb and paper.